Hi, my name is Tara.
And I'm Pedro.
And welcome to Hear My Marriage Podcast.
Join us on Saturday nights at 9 p.m. as we talk about marriages.
On Adventist Radio London. Hello, hello, and welcome to Hear My Marriage Podcast. I'm your host, Tara.
And I'm Pedro.
And we are back with another episode.
And yes, we are. We're on season five, episode nine.
And the title of this podcast today that we're going to be talking about is Seasons of Marriage.
Yeah.
And as you know, we all go through different seasons of our marriages, where we start learning more about each other, things that we like, things that we don't like. And this is some of the things we're going to tap on today in this podcast. And hopefully you're in one of these seasons of your marriage, and maybe we can give you some information that can help you move along.
And just like a wife, she takes all the credit. So therefore, the reason why we're even doing this episode is because one day I was watching something and I noticed, like, when people get, like, because we're about to be married for 20 years mm-hmm. in October.
Wait a minute, let me do a pause.
Okay, so we're about to be married for 20 years. That's a long applause.
I know. Go ahead, babe. Sorry.
But, and I was like, you know, you ever notice that when people hit like the 20-year mark, that's when I was noticing like a lot of people, even people we knew, and people that even in the news or anything like that, like they've been married for 20 years and they're announcing their breakup. And it got me to thinking, like, why at 20 or 15, you know, do people start breaking up? And then went to church one day and saw these pamphlets and it was Season of Marriage. And I was like, that's why. And I said to my wife, we need to do an episode on seasons of marriage and why. Yeah. Because we of all people know we go through seasons.
You
the
do.
Seasons that we went through.
Yeah.
More, it was more like thunderstorms and hurricanes. You know, it wasn't just the seasons, it was the whole, you know, weather.
It just took a lot of growth and life experience. Yeah.
So I was like, so in my head I was like, we need to do something because we don't realize realize that, like, especially when you hit like the 20-year mark and like when the kids leave,
right?
That, like, do we really like each other?
You have empty
because we notice a lot that happens too. A lot, even in the church, we notice that a lot of church folks, once their children leave and go off to uni or go off to college or a thing like that, they don't stay together. Or if they're together, they're
not really.
I didn't say everybody, right. I said it's not even a big amount. I don't even know, I can't say because I haven't done any
like a percentage.
Data.
Yeah.
It's more visual that I see.
Right.
You just notice that the husband and wife don't have that connection. That it's just a weird, you just feel this weird connection, like they're just together to be together.
Yeah. That can be the case in some people's marriage.
And I'm being honest, and you know, I'm not talking about nobody in particular, but it's just, we just noticed that with some marriages, like, why they're together? Like, because you can see there's no love between them.
Right.
When you can see that there's no love between us, why are we together?
I definitely feel that it's like an energy when you're around people and you observe couples and people in relationships, and you can kind of tell which ones are more connected than the others. And you can kind of, you know, you can just feel the energy.
Yeah.
Energy of it.
Like, and they don't do nothing together in the church. And right. I understand sometimes, you know, you need to be separate in the church.
Yeah.
But they don't sit together. They don't do nothing together. They just have like this coldness about them. And it's, you know, because what you do when the dark comes out in the light.
Yeah.
So you may go home, and we know this for a fact because when we was going through, we go to church. And we could play off like nobody knew what we was going through, the pain and the suffering that I was putting my wife through or what we was dealing with.
Right.
Because we could mask it.
Yeah.
But there were some people that would be like, you guys okay? Something's off. You guys okay? Like, they could see in our body language and our the way we talked to each other, the way we interacted, that something wasn't right.
Yeah, some people have a good way of hiding something.
Mm-hmm. Masking.
Yeah, like you said, masking. Some things in their marriage, and sometimes you see it. But I just think sometimes with some people, you get so comfortable and content where you are, and you know, really not seeing a big change in your marriage. Things are just doing the same thing over and over again. Things can become like a routine, and you don't really feel the need where the change need to be at. You know, unless. Either you or your spouse say, wait a minute, something ain't right. Something's not going on. What's going on with us? You know, it's about just paying attention, knowing when who attend areas in your marriage that need to be worked on. And mm-hmm. and I think sometimes we overlook those things because we like, you know, why?
Oh, you don't even realize it's happening.
Right. Or you don't even realize it's happening. Or you mm-hmm. feel like, you know, nothing is wrong. Why try to fix something that I don't think is broken? So, mm-hmm. you know, people go through that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, like you said, that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
So, I'll ask for that. How you been?
I've been okay.
That's good. I've been okay too.
You know, I've been okay.
I see you every day, so of course I'm okay.
No, I've been okay. The kids are out of school for the term break.
You can't wait for them to go back.
But you know, at first I thought that because I was feeling stressed, but now I feel all right. You know,
that's only induced stress on your own part.
It is. It could be. And I think
you get all in your feelings.
I do, and I think sleeping in has been wonderful. Being able to get up and really not have to worry about, oh, I got to be up at 6:30, making sure everything is straight with the kids, you know, getting them off to school and all that. So just taking a break from that has really been kind of a good thing.
Yeah. I have to get up and go to work.
Yeah. So, but you all going to have a couple of days off soon.
And, only because it's a good Friday and Easter Monday.
Yeah. So we're going to,
but beyond that, I'm driving all over the universe.
Yeah.
It's a job and it's my job. I actually do love my job. So it's a job. I love it. So, hey, I'm not complaining.
And you used to be a truck driver. So I think, you know, I think driving a truck and driving cars, well, obviously it's different. Yeah, it's a different
thing. It's much higher in the truck.
But at the same thing time, you still have to stay alert and make sure that, you know, you're awake and all that and you're not getting too tired behind the wheel. Mm-hmm. So that's.
I just call and talk to you, and you irritate me. That gives me more energy, and then I just say, "Yeah,
stop calling me."
Like, yeah,
yeah. So you know, life been doing pretty good. Been lifing.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. You could sit here and complain about things, but why? We still here and alive.
And the problem's still going to be there when you complain. Health.
So I'm happy about that.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, you want to pray? Let's pray and get started.
All right.
And then,
Lord, thank you so much for this day, for allowing us to be here to keep our eyes open, Lord, and be able to see what you are doing in our lives. Lord, as we do in this podcast, I'm asking you to help us to reach people that reach someone or some marriage that are going through different seasons in their marriage. And maybe one of these seasons that we touch on would be something that they can elaborate on together and try to work on getting things better. Lord, give us the words to say. Speak for us, Lord. And thank you, Lord, again. I pray in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. First off, like, we're going to ask you to like, subscribe, and share.
Yeah, follow and share.
Right, follow on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Spotify.
Spotify.
Apple Podcasts.
All the social media and platforms.
And also, we do have an Instagram, so please look us up on that. Here, my marriage podcast. And we do have a Facebook. So our name, you can look us on each platform, Hear My Marriage Podcast, Instagram, mm-hmm. Facebook. And we do have a Twitter as well. I need to stop putting some more stuff on there.
Yeah, we haven't used Twitter in a while.
But we
or
do
X.
Yeah, well, sorry.
Because it started putting a lot of propaganda and stuff, so we just stopped using it.
Yeah. So, follow us on them platforms, guys, and come a part of our community.
Yeah. And thank you for Ventures Radio London for listening. Mm-hmm. We're on Saturday nights at 9 p.m.
That's right.
Saturdays, 9 p.m. on Ventures Radio London. This mm-hmm. is mostly in the UK. Mm-hmm. Or if you have the app today, it's the Ventures Radio London app.
Or the
app
radio. Yeah.
ARL. Mm-hmm. ARL. Yeah, ARL. Yeah. Rap, yeah. And you can listen to us then. Yeah. And also we have other programs on there too that you can listen to.
That's right.
If you're in the US or somewhere else, if you want an Adventist program on Adventist radio show, mm-hmm. if you put the app on your phone or on your iPad or on your computer, mm-hmm. you can listen to the shows and have some, you know, Christian content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Yeah. Cool. So as we was talking about seasons of marriage, mm-hmm. so I'm going to read from the pamphlet that I found.
Right.
I'm going to read, not exactly verbatim, but I'm going to read, you know, from the pamphlet.
Well, you want to kind of do one. And
right. So I'm going to do like the Adventist one, because this is from the Seventh Adventist pamphlet.
Yeah.
From the North Ethan Conference.
Right.
But then so mine is going to be more biblical.
Right.
And yours will be more like, it's going to be seasons of like winter, summer, spring, fall, and spring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, so that they know what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so you want me to go first?
Yep.
All right. So in the Adventist, I won't even say it like that. We're going to go with...
In the pamphlet.
In the pamphlet.
Yeah.
They say the dream stage. So the dream stage is when you're newly married, mm-hmm. and you're still finding out about each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, You have to try to find anything possible to make one happy. You have different expectations. You try to avoid conflict, and you'll be afraid to let your partner see who you really are.
Right.
And for
the spring, which kind of going for the spring, it's this new beginnings. So the keywords here was discovery, romance, hope, foundation. And the scripture they used was Mark 10:9. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. So they have like reflection questions. So what are the best parts of our beginning? How can we rekindle the joy of curiosity we had early on? Are we growing together spiritually? And an action step to start a short devotional plan together. Read one Psalms each evening and pray together.
You read it verbatim.
Yeah, well, that's what it says here.
Condense.
Right. Sorry.
Anyway, so yeah, I think we started off in the wrong dream.
Well, you think we started off in the wrong? Well, in the beginning season, I think it was.
We started off in the wrong dream. Yeah, we did, because number one, we did not wait to consummate our marriage. We consummated before we got married. That's first off.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, there was a lot of. I can say this word because it's 9 o'clock.
Yeah,
there's a lot of penetration going on.
Yeah,
and then after that happened. We knew we loved each other, mm-hmm. but we didn't quite still understand each other. And even though I had told you everything about me,
yeah,
because I told you everything about me,
right,
there were still things that you did not know,
right,
and it was things that I did not know about you.
Yeah,
it was like we were still, because we met in February, got married in October, mm-hmm. so there was no way we would know everything about each other.
Yeah, I mean, once we got married, we was trying to
we had to navigate.
Start the foundation of our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also learning each other, you know, learning things. I think
that's
at the beginning,
said.
For me, I was so like, I think we was both like kind of lovey-dovey. You think? Like, maybe.
No, because we like that type now. Of thing. We still do that now.
But I'm saying, I think it was more of it at the time, in the beginning. I think that's what it was. Because in the beginning, we was just so connecting.
No, you was more thing.
Yeah.
I remember I was not emotionally capable as I am now.
Yeah.
I'm more emotional.
But you grew into your
exactly.
Your,
that's what we're getting
being
to.
More intimate.
That's what we're getting into. I was not emotionally
mm-hmm.
on the same level as you. I was kind of still.
Okay, so
dry.
The reflection question here, it says, what were the best part of our beginning? And that'll be the same question for you guys to ask each other. Where was the best part of the beginning of your marriage? You know, the beginning time.
It was getting to know you.
Mm-hmm. Did you like getting to know me?
Oh, yeah. I was liking to get to know you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I was so nervous when it was time to meet your mom and your dad and your
chill.
Siblings. But when they came in the house, I was like,
My aunt was chill. Everybody was chill. Everybody was
yeah.
like. It was more shock.
No, I'm talking about when your mom and dad came to my mom's house. My
oh, that's right.
House.
They did come to the house.
Yeah, they came to my
parents'
house.
Did we come to your house first?
Yeah, your dad.
They came to our house first,
mm-hmm.
and then we went over to your mom's.
No. This is before I'm staying with my parents. I was living with them.
I don't even remember that.
I actually do. I had all like
on the team. Because they came, you just come down all the time to the south.
Yeah, but this is the time where you came over and... They came as well. And that's when I met Daija, your sisters, Tina.
That's
Justin.
When I had to blow up at Adrian's house.
Right. And they was young still. Right. Teenagers, actually.
Obviously.
So, but anyway, in the beginning, I thought it was, I have fun getting to know you.
I definitely have fun getting to know you. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I hated it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed getting to know you. And then once we got married, it was getting used to your little, you know.
Yeah, getting used to your ways.
To your ways and stuff. You know,
yeah.
We was trying to learn how to live with each other.
Yeah.
How to be, you know, because we spent a lot of time together, but spending time with somebody and then living with somebody is
two different things.
So, you know, yeah. What we thought we knew was like out the window.
That's not what it is, I think that was an eye-opener. I think, you know, once we started seeing each other for who we really were, it was like, this is you? You know, like,
mm-hmm.
This is what I like.
This is what I'm married to for the rest of my life.
Right.
Yeah. It was like that. We definitely was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely. I definitely enjoyed it. We had our moments, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, things like that. We did a lot of stuff together.
Yeah.
You know, I never forgive you. Yeah, I never forgive you. I never forgive you for taking me up on that Vulcan statue thing.
Yeah, Peter don't like hikes. So we did.
No, you should have warned me. That was not cool.
Sorry. I didn't realize you didn't, your hike.
I told you I didn't like.
I know you said it, but I didn't know until I actually seen it. And I was like, whole, yo, get up off the floor.
The whole outside was just I can't even explain it. It was just a metal thing that had holes in it so you could look straight down.
I was like, Pedro, get up off the floor.
It wasn't even like a solid floor or nothing. It was just a metal floor. With holes. So as soon as you walk out, you're about 200 feet up. As soon as you walk out, oh, you look. Yeah, I went straight to the ground and crawled back into the building. I sure
did. You really did.
I don't care. I'm not afraid to say I'm afraid of heights. That's true. A man can, you know, express his true feelings and how he is.
I'm trying to figure out how did we go about connecting together spiritually together?
Well, spiritually, we was kind of in a crosswalks because we still was Sabbath and Sunday.
Yeah,
I was
Baptist. Yeah.
You were still Baptist. Mm. We was going back and forth. We would go. Some days we went twice. We would go twice every weekend.
Yeah,
Sabbath and Sunday. Mm-hmm. So we would go on Sabbath, then we go on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Some days we do Sabbath. Some days we do Sunday, depending on what we had to do.
Yeah.
And I don't even think on the Sabbath we did anything. It was just some days if we just need to rest from work, it was a hard day. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday, we will go Sunday. So we will go. We did a lot of 46 Baptists.
Yeah.
And then we did, I forgot the name of the church.
I can't remember.
That was in Alabama.
The SDA church?
But we did. Yeah, but we did. We went to a white church. Remember when we went to the white church?
Yeah, I was like, why did you bring me here?
We was in and out by like 5-1. He didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
That well, was 5-1, it was like, amen. Everybody go home. We was like, what? Go home. Like,
okay.
Like, we should still be in church. But yeah, I remember that. That was interesting. But we did that. And I think spiritually, we was trying to find each other too.
Yeah.
We was trying to find a common ground that we could both live with and come to grips with each other.
Yeah.
And so that was definitely we were still spiritually with the Lord. We were still spiritually connected to each other, even though you was Baptist and I was Adventist.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I wasn't even really practicing Adventism.
Yeah.
I was just going to go. I'd say that all the time. Then as I gradually started to go back again, mm-hmm. I started to build myself back up again.
Yeah.
And get back into God's word and to my my belief.
Yeah.
So how do you think we were spiritually?
I didn't have a problem with learning a new religion or, you know, just seeing what it was like. Because all my life, like I said, I was Baptist all my life. So I didn't know anything else differently. So learning about the Sabbath, learning, you know, why you going to church on Saturday and all that stuff. At first, I was like, what? But, you know, as time went on and God, I started maturing more in our marriage. And I think even with God, I started seeing things in a more different light. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because you was, you know, drilling it in me or like, this is what you should do. I think initially, because I did believe in God, I think you was good with that. But in the sense of changing religions, like from Baptist to Sabbath, it wasn't one of the main things for us, you know what I'm saying, we was leaning towards, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I think
if you didn't do this, then I couldn't.
I think the reason I always thought about that, why didn't I push you? And only thing I could come up with, you know, I grew up, I was Pentecostal, then I grew up Adventist.
Mm.
And one thing I learned dealing with my mother and my father, who was a pastor, my mother's Bible worker, and going to a lot of Daniel Revelation seminars and going to a lot of different Amazing Facts seminars and things of that nature and crusades. One thing I always noticed is if the other one put, like if I saw couples put one that they wasn't together in the same religion, like one was Adventist, one was something else.
Right.
I think subconsciously I just saw it that if the other one pushed to, oh, you got to come be Adventist. You got to come be Adventist so you could be equally yoked.
Yeah.
They didn't last.
Yeah.
So subconsciously, I never it never even, never once that I could think about, never crossed my mind to say to you, you need to be Adventist.
Right. Right.
Because I never once, like you just said, I never once said it to you.
And I never felt pressured.
But I never said nothing to you. I never brought it up. I never said, I think the only thing we had a discussion was when we have our first child.
Yeah.
What is a child going to be?
We was had, like, that's when we had
gonna,
this discussion.
Right. Is it going to be Baptist or are we going to be Adventist?
And I
was
going to
be co-thing. Like one day Baptist, half Baptist for half his life and seven day Adventist for the rest of his life.
Right.
Or two, he can make a decision.
Yeah.
What he wants to be or she wants to be. Like
we didn't argue about it.
No, we just had a discussion.
We were just talking about it. Yeah, and I think at that time in my mind, I was like, you know, whatever. If you go, you know, Saturday, fine. If you're on Sunday, fine. As long as you believe in God. I think that was the main thing.
Yeah, that was our main goal. As long as you believe in God or she believes in God. Well, actually, no, we had it after Bryce. Not Bryce. That's my oldest son. After Junior was born.
Yes.
That's when we had the discussion.
Mm-hmm. Because
we didn't even have it before. We probably had it slightly when you was pregnant.
Yeah.
But then once we had him, then we had the discussion. Yeah.
What are we going to do?
When we knew that he was a boy, it was like, okay, so what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we never like, even then, I never was like, oh, he's going to be Adventist. I don't care what you say. And it was just like, look, you know. And then, of course, we know. We remember Pastor Smith, and he gave the question that changed our life.
Yeah.
That was the one question.
I think that was a decision.
That was a season in our life. Because that one question changed everything about
us. It did. He was like, look, you either going to be Baptist or you're going to be
Adventist.
Or you're going to be Adventist. You need to pick one. Mm-hmm. Will you both go together?
Get, mm-hmm.
And it's not, you know.
And you shocked me and said, I want to be Adventist. And I was like, what? When did that happen? Because you never said nothing to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never said nothing to me.
It happened after studying the Bible, after learning the truth, after realizing, wait a minute, you know, and God just started showing it to me. Mm. But it wasn't in your time or my time. It just happened.
In God's time.
Yes, it was in God's time. And I think he really put it in my mind when the babies were young, so I had time to sit and read and just study, and it just
you had time to read because I wasn't around.
Right. But I'm just saying, God put me in a situation at the time where I was totally focused on him. And I think that was really something that I needed. I needed a foundation spiritually in the sense of knowing what direction we was going in or what I was going in, because I knew I wanted to do something, but where it was going
to
go.
And this is why I always say to you that everything that happened to us, everything that happened to me, everything that happened to you, everything that happened between us,
mm-hmm.
I believe God let it. I know people say, why did God let it happen? It happened for a reason.
It did.
Because I always believe this. It just made me thought of this. Think of this.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't get arrested to be deported,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't in jail at the time, that's when you had the time. That's when you said, okay, God, let me, you know, what's going on? What should I do? You start thinking more. If we was together, say I went to Vegas and then I came down south.
Mm-hmm.
You may not even have that thought process,
right?
To get to read the Bible or to even get into that mindset of like, God, what are we going to do? Because we would have been so busy trying to find work, trying to handle the household, handle each other, and we was at a point. We was kind of a breaking point because we had left New York and came back to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't really think I wanted to be in Alabama, so you was already kind of with me with that, you know. He was like, you don't really want to be here, you just here to be here. So you was already kind of questioning that, you understand?
Yeah,
all those things. But when I got locked up, it made you like focus on yourself and mm-hmm. your relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when you said that, that's when you start learning, that's when you start reading. It was like, wait a minute,
I remember studying and reading movies when I was in Bermuda.
Did it. We always had this discussion. We always had this argument.
All I'm saying is that
you was nope. I'm telling you, you did it.
It's me. It's my experience.
I know that, Todd, but I remember specifically you calling me and telling me in prison.
Pijo, listen.
I don't care what you say. You called me and told me.
I can't call you in prison.
I called you and you told me.
No, what
you was like, guess what, Pijo? You won't believe what I read.
No, sorry.
You did. You was like, I can't believe. Why didn't nobody ever tell me this?
I remember it like it was thing. That may have been the case, but I'm saying I didn't start studying until I got to Bermuda. I know that for a fact.
Nope.
Well, Pedro, it doesn't matter what you say because I know what it was. I know what it was for me.
You may have really, okay,
Pedro,
for you.
I may have told you. Listen, let me talk, please.
I'm letting you talk.
Because this is my story.
I'm not making
your
story.
And so what I'm saying is, when I may have told you that when I was just kind of just looking through, but I initially did not sit down and start studying until I was in Bermuda when we was living in the one bedroom apartment. That's when I really started looking more into it.
That's
fair. I know that for a fact.
Okay, listen, that's fair. So calm down, take a deep breath. That's fair.
I know it's fair because that's what happened.
Wait. But you did say something to me before we went to Bermuda.
I may have did. But
no, you did. I'm telling you this.
I said just I may
like,
have.
No, don't say you may have. I'm saying just like, look, I listen. Start. Wait. So listen. No. Woman, listen to me. Okay? All right. Don't stop. Listen. You just said that's what you did. And I said, that's fine. You did that at that moment. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you that you actually did call me. I called you and you said, as soon as I called you, you was like, why didn't you tell me? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And you was like, why didn't you say, you know, that remember the Sabbath day and this and that? I was reading Exodus 20 verse 4. And I'm like, remember the Sabbath day and the Sabbath.
It was a whole bunch of verses.
And you went to all the verses. And mm-hmm. I said, because you need to find out for yourself.
Right.
I was locked up when this happened. I guarantee you, I remember having that conversation. Mm-hmm. Now, you may have read about it and then, but then we was going through a lot with my family and stuff. So then you left, you went down south, I think at that moment, or you was in the south. I can't remember where it was at. Maybe in West Hempstead, but you did do that. And then I left.
I was in Alabama.
Yeah, you probably in Alabama by then. So then I then was like, well, we're going to go to Bermuda. So then I went to Bermuda, and then that's when you, because honestly, and that makes sense, because honestly, this happened near the end of me being locked up and leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But you did call, I did call you in prison, and you say to me, blah, 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 and
okay,
I was
fine.
Like,
hey. That may have been said, yes. However,
no, it was said. It was not may have been said. Stop saying may have been. It
anyway,
was. Okay?
Like, the point
Don't
is,
follow me,
the
woman.
Point is, it wasn't about me doing Baptist Sunday church or Sabbath church. It was about or Seventh-day Adventist. It wasn't about me becoming a religion. It was about me learning about the day God set aside for us, and that was
I know that
Saturday the Sabbath.
And that's why I said I had to let you learn for yourself.
Was another day that was
just taking
up.
You to church. You start learning it on your own.
Yeah,
I didn't have to keep ready, put it in your head. Mm-hmm. You learned it every day when we went to church on Sabbath.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go to the next one because...
Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on because, you
so
know,
that's
you
always, the new beginning.
I may have. You don't never like to say I did. You never like to say I know
Wait,
what I'm
I
talking
have one
about.
One more point.
No more points.
Okay, no more points. Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. Give your point.
I was going to say, do you feel that we are growing more together now in our love and our marriage now? Do you feel like we're growing more spiritually?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
That we was learning each other spiritually back then. We now know each other's fault. We kind of know each other. We can kind of tell when the other person is kind of failing or down.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely. We know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're definitely more in tune.
All right.
So then my next one is discovery is, discovery stage, which they give where every stage of marriage needs to be a discovery stage. Well, then we kind of just talked about that. And something new to learn about or even have a happier marriage.
Mm-hmm.
The commitment is vital to growth. It's not committed. We're not going to work on our relationship. And our commitment is vital to our growth. If we're not committed, we're not going to work on our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And we miss out on the way God wants us to use our marriage to help us grow.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of just talked about that with the discovery. Okay. Which one do you think is that one?
I would say growth and flourishing, summer.
Right.
So it's
so
like
we went from spring straight to the spring, then summer.
Then summer, then stability, warmth, intimacy, shared purpose. And it was basically we're saying the reflection questions like what areas in your marriage that you are flourishing? And now that you have passed the spring stage of your marriage, what are some areas of your marriage that you are flourishing now that you got to the next point?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, one other thing. I'm gonna go back just real quick with the spring. I think I introduced you to devotion and also into family worship.
Yeah.
because you didn't know you didn't.
I mean, you know, we prayed together.
Yeah, but not it wasn't the way,
like we didn't sit
right,
down.
Right, sit down and you know, just, right. You was like, that was new to you, so that yeah. was. That was part of our spiritual growth.
Yeah. And that was
that I introduced you to sitting down, reading a scripture or reading a devotion or just talking.
Yeah, that was talking. In the beginning. That was in the springtime.
Yeah, in the springtime.
Yeah.
I just thought about it. And then because you was asking, it just hit me when you said about spiritually. So that's what we was doing in the beginning.
Okay. So now, since when we reached our summer part, what were some areas in our marriage that we was flourishing? And that's something you can ask your partner as well. What are some areas in your marriage that you are flourishing? Now that you add the growth in part of your growing more into your marriage.
I think we were just flourishing. What do you think we were flourishing in?
I think we have been flourishing in more with communicating, talking to each other, trying to understand each other's points. I think we have grown in that.
No, not now. This is the beginning.
Oh, in the beginning.
So we're talking about, because remember, we did the beginning.
Right.
And now we're in the beginning of our marriage. Now we're in the summer part of our marriage right. where we need so to grow time, and flourish. We was not growing and flourish the way we should.
I think at the time we wasn't balanced enough in the beginning to get to that flourishing part. Mm-hmm. I think we were still learning each other.
Mm-hmm.
We were still trying to understand the things of our spiritual walk with God as well on both sides.
We had a lot of upheaval in our lives too with moving and a lot of things because we was in New York and we was in Alabama, then we was in Bermuda, then we was in another part of Bermuda. Then, you know, it was a lot going on.
It took us a while. I think we just wasn't stable as much as we really needed to be at that time. And I think as time went on, we was learning some of the things, how to function as a family, you know, raising our children, learning each other more, you know, all of that.
So that's why I was trying to make the point earlier and I didn't finish it, but that's why I was talking about things that happened to us in our marriage. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I got deported because it made us be together.
Mm-hmm.
It made us just have to focus on each other and actually spiritually, physically, everything, mentally, just be there for each other. You didn't.
That goes to this point. So we're making time for each other.
Making time for each other. Right. In our busy lives. And we had too much going on. Mm-hmm. And when we moved to Bermuda, you knew nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I knew, even though I'm from Bermuda, I was learning people again because I have been since I was a child.
Yeah.
So it made us focus on just being with each other.
It did.
And trying to understand each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just me and you and Junior.
I think God sometimes have to take you out of a season in your marriage where he have to put you in a place of isolation. Mm-hmm. And that's because sometimes when things are about to fall apart, God always comes in on time and say, look, it's not great, but I need this to happen so you guys can pay more attention to each other so you can learn how to become one. We were still learning how to become one. I think for me, we were still in our own individual mindsets. Place.
Yeah.
We wasn't thinking like, oh, this is what we need for each other. We was like, this is what I need for me. This is what you need for you. Mm-hmm. We wasn't on the same page.
It gave us stability.
Yeah.
Coming to Bermuda stabilized us as a couple.
It did.
It also gave us a shared purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost like it was like us against the world.
Yeah.
All right. So now we by ourselves, we need to survive.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of hunkered down and start doing things together and
we depended on together. Each other more. And I think sometimes when you're at a place in your marriage where you're thinking you can do everything by yourself, because some people marry but still live in a single mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important for us to learn how to become one as a married couple. I think that's something that takes time and maturity and spiritually and just period. It just takes time to get to that level.
Do you think that when we was into that part, instead of us progressing to the next step, we went backwards to the spring step?
I think in some sense, maybe, because we was kind of juggling there. Like I said, we wasn't navigating as one. You know what I'm saying? Our decision making was based on what we wanted for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't on what was best for.
No, but we said we just hunkered down. We did. Yeah. We started doing things together, but then
once we got to Bermuda.
Yeah, but then Bermuda became such a overbearing, but not the people. It was more just the finances.
I think getting used to
and living.
I think for me, in the beginning, it wasn't finance for me. For me, it was getting used to being in a new country, getting used to being around people I'd never seen before in my life, you know, and just basically, you know, I'm looking at you all the time, like, you know, I'm wanting to be, if I had to be connected to someone closely, God made it as we was trying to get closer to each other. And I think that's what I'm saying. Learning to become one in our marriage took time, but we started learning to depend on each other, trust in each other. You know, we leaned on each other a lot because it was just us.
Yeah.
And it was us and God, obviously. Yes, it was God. God was always there.
Always in
but
the
I think for us at the time, because we was growing in our spiritual walk with God, we didn't sometimes maybe felt like that was the case.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So and then they went to, as time went on, they said, how did you serve God as a team? As time went on, it took time. We started praying together.
We was already praying together.
Yeah, but it wasn't as prevalent as it is now.
We probably did more things in the church. You definitely did just singing. You was doing a lot of singing.
Yeah.
A lot of programs, different churches, different people. I just was the babysitter, which is fine. I watched the kids.
And you were good at it too. That. So I think God,
I was excellent.
I just wanted to say, I never took that for granted. I always appreciated the fact
I never said you did.
Let me finish. I'm just giving you some props here. So you need to just take it.
I don't like
props. So be quiet. So I'm saying, I really appreciated the fact that you looked after our kids. I didn't have to worry about who was watching them in the church, who was, because, I always had my thing about who watched my kids. I don't trust people. But I was just saying, you.
You didn't even trust me sometimes. And I was a husband.
No, what I'm saying is that people look nice on the outside, but you really don't know how people is. You see what I'm saying? At the end of the day. You know, so I was just really happy to know that you was watching out our young children at the time, and I didn't have to worry about nobody else doing it. You know what I'm saying? So I was very happy about that.
But see, that's the thing. I don't need no props because they're my children. They're my responsibility.
I know that, but I'm still. But
now, I'm just saying it for the people out there that's listening. Like, that's as the husband, that was my duty.
I understand
my
that.
My duty was to pick up the slack while you do what you did your thing. Because when I had to do my thing, when I had to go to work, that's why I've always appreciated you being home with the kids.
Yeah.
Because when I had to go to work and try to make that money and provide and buy food and buy stuff for us, and then we all have money to buy stuff and do things and whatever like that. Mm-hmm. The only reason I'm able to do that is because what you do at home.
Yeah.
So it goes both ways.
It does. But I'm just saying, for me, I was up there saying I ain't have to worry about my kids.
Yeah. I don't have to worry about my kids when I'm at work.
Right.
Because I know you're watching them. That's my point. Yeah. That's what a marriage is. That's the whole point.
And see, we gotta jump also to learning how to become one.
Yeah, exactly.
So that, you know,
it goes to that question that we heard the other day where, you know, like we have roles in our marriage, but just because we have a role doesn't mean that we can't interchange them and do things with each other.
So roles can be interchangeable in marriage. And it ain't about you should, or this is what you should do. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, when the need is there, just, you know,
do it.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You're supposed to be coming together as a team, you know.
Because I couldn't complain and be like, Dad,
you know,
I'm always watching these kids.
Why you can't get somebody to watch them? Why you can't, you know,
why has got to go with you and watch these kids?
Yeah.
Why, you know, why has got to,
I mean, yeah,
why I gotta drive you? Why I gotta drive you all over the place, all over Bermuda for you to sing? Like, why I gotta, and then gotta sit through the practices,
right?
The rehearsals,
because
I went to everything.
You did, and I appreciate that.
No, actually, no. At some point, you just started going. I stayed home with the kids, and you would go on your own.
Mm-hmm.
When you start learning, when you learn to drive,
when I finally started driving,
hallelujah, that was the best thing, you know. And see, hallelujah, and listen, this is what I'm talking about. God makes things happen. No, I'm dead serious, and people are gonna think I'm crazy, but I think sometimes negative things happen in life so that positive can come out of it.
That's
just
it.
Like I believe that death brings life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The reason why I say this, folks, is because the only reason why my wife, my beautiful wife over there, learned to drive in Bermuda, because she was fighting me for years. The only reason why she learned to drive is because I almost died on a bike in a bike accident.
I hate
saying it like that, but I ran into a car and I was laid up. I could not go. No, I was laid up. My wife had to drive the
car.
Broken
ribs, everything.
Broken rib, wrist, pelvic bone.
Mm-hmm.
My wife had to drive the car to come down to see me.
Mm-hmm, to the hospital.
The only reason why my wife stopped driving is because of that accident. If that never happened, my wife would not have drove.
That's true. I wouldn't have never been driving.
You wouldn't have started driving. You would have been like, nah, you could do it.
Yeah.
And so my wife drove down and she's like, oh, it's not as bad as I thought.
Yeah. I was nervous and about getting out.
You was nervous that day. It took you a while to get down there because you took your time, which is fine.
Yeah.
Because it was on the opposite side and all that from the States.
Yeah.
And once you did that, you was like, you know, it's not so bad. Yeah. Then you had to drive home.
Right.
With but the kids.
I just started following everybody else. You know what I'm saying? Exactly. Hoping that nobody follow, else turned off.
Follow the traffic. But you made it there and you made it back. And
I did.
And from that point, my wife, she even picked me up and drove me home.
Oh,
but I'm saying, like, I did it. And once she did that, Lord have mercy. Thank Wait, you, Lord. I hallelujah.
I want my prize.
You left your prize on the top of the car that day when you left your wallet up there. Don't go there.
$700 in the wallet. Man. Okay, let's just leave it alone. You know what I'm saying?
You don't want to put up. You need I'm a prize. Saying,
you need to just let it go. The point that you're still talking about that you is brought messed it up.
Okay.
Anyway.
But anyway, like I said, the only reason why. So sometimes life happens. Things happen to bring out the positive. And it because does. Of that, God. Hallelujah, because I don't know. I probably would have broke at some point. Mm. But because that happened, I was able to just stay home with the kids.
To be honest, I was really happy to have that type of independency for myself.
Yeah, I wanted you to have that independence.
I was able to not always depend on people to do things. And then it allowed me to do more in the church. It allowed me to be able to say, you know, I'm sure I could do this. I can get up, take kids to school. I can pick them up. I can go do this during the day. You know, all of this stuff. And it just really, when you find, and when I say independency, I'm talking about in the sense of being able to do things to help out your spouse. You know what I'm saying?
And yourself.
And myself, yes. But I'm just saying, just knowing that, you know, I ain't got to sit here and wait. You know, I can just go do it. And you know what I'm saying? And
hallelujah.
Be proactive.
So, yes, yeah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Let's move on to the next point.
All right. Then we go into, I guess it'll be, The delusional is that the first you think that's no that's the fourth one
disillusionment though but you're talking about the depth stage no we're not at that part yet
no I think it's the delusional state stage
disillusionment
that's the one is the toughest one this is where it's the normal part and of the growing relationship this couple can stay in this for the rest of their lonely unhappy lives together. Some couples separate and divorce because they cannot find a way through this stage. But we'll never learn how to have that close, strong, and loving relationship God intends us to experience.
Right.
Until we find our way through our delusionment into the discovery stage.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So, with that, that delusionment stage is considered to be the fall, which is here, change and maturity. So, I would say, and with the reflection question here, it says, what changes are we currently facing? You know, the changes that you're facing in your marriage that's causing a divide between the husband and the wife, not allowing y'all to see things eye to eye.
A lot of fighting. A lot of fighting.
Yeah, a lot just, of. You know, it's no clarity that's going on in the marriage.
And So like it says here, I'm like, you know, high expectations that are dashed by the reality of stress and strains, becoming more aware of each other's difference, habits, limitations, becoming more annoying to each other.
Yeah.
Arguing, fighting, blaming each other, pointing out each other's weakness, becoming easily irritated and frustrated with each other. We treat your own separate and overbusy worlds and try to soothe ourselves by becoming addicted to food, overwork, exercise, internet, gaming, and of course, pornography.
Yeah.
Which is a very big thing in the church and in the world that people don't like to admit.
Yeah.
But it's definitely there.
Yeah. So how do we handle...
And even indiscretion.
Right. So how do we handle... Let's put that in there too. Right. So how do we handle the conflict of uncertainty and things that happen in our marriage? And we sometimes put our focus more on like those things that you mentioned on exercising. We put more time in our food, you know, instead of just... looking at the problem, talking about it, and seeing how can we work through these things that is causing our marriage to fail. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So how do we do that? How do we get through the conflict?
So
we arguing all the time.
So this is what I'm gonna just. So I saw something that said my love for my wife has grown over the years, and you know when we first met, less like me, we first met. You know, we had reasons, you know, a list of reasons why we loved each other. Then that's a wonderful thing. But then when our love matured, like we have matured over 20 years now, I realized that you know, when we have reasons, that you have conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm, you know, for me personally, you know, if the conditions are not met,
mm-hmm.
if the conditions are not met, then the relationship is going to be in trouble, because now I'm expecting something from you that I'm not going to get.
Yeah. Your expectations is too high.
Yeah, my expectations comes the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm like, okay, so for me, you know, I love you and I don't, for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Unconditionally. Mm-hmm. It's just like God loves us. We were just talking about that mm-hmm. in worship this morning. You know, like, unconditionally, I love you now because I got rid of the conditions. I don't have a condition for loving you. I just love you.
Mm-hmm.
So even when you get on my nerves, even when we get on each other's nerves, or you're bothering me, or I'm upset with you.
Right, you get on my nerves.
I know, mm-hmm. that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine. We're going to, because we're two different people.
That's true.
But my point is that I don't, because I think if you have reasons, then you also have a reason to be like, well, I'm out of here, or yeah. I'm done, or I'm mm-hmm. going to divorce you.
Mm-hmm.
I think somebody put up a post the other day, and I said, until we die, or until death I die, or death yeah. to us part. Exactly. I'm not going anywhere. Like, I have, those reasons have been, I don't have no reasons to love you. I just love you.
Okay, so what
unconditionally.
So what are some of these things? Like, if you at a point in your marriage where it's just nonstop arguing, nonstop fighting, how can you deal with that type of conflict when no one is listening? How do you go about doing that?
Well, you have to get some help, counseling,
mm-hmm.
Talk to somebody,
mm-hmm.
try to get a mediator that doesn't have any skin in the game that can talk to you and then
listen to both parts
and then give you constructive criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to listen to that criticism and you have to understand that criticism and not even say agree to it, but you have to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And say, okay, this, you know, all right, this is what you're saying. Okay, I'm listening.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do that, because if you keep arguing the thing, you're gonna end up being divorced. There's no way around it. You're not gonna mm-hmm. be together if you cannot have a discussion with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like we still have discussions, we still have arguments.
Yeah.
But now we have an argument, we can look at each other and say, okay, why are we really arguing, or mm-hmm. what's really going on?
Mm-hmm.
We can kind of, you know, break it down and say, okay, did I say this the wrong way? Did you say that the wrong way? You know, like, you know, having a discussion and, mm-hmm. and respecting each other's opinion.
Yeah.
I think in the beginning, we didn't always respect, like, you know, you had your opinion and your opinion used to say to me, I say what I said. I used to hate that phrase. That phrase used to get on my nerves. Mm-hmm. I used to irritate the heck out of me. Like, mm-hmm. I say what I said and that's it. Like, mm-hmm. nah, it don't work that way. You can't just say what you say and then expect me to be like, yes, Amasa. Yeah. You know, no, it's not work that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So if it's just a lot of arguing going on, you guys gotta figure out why.
Right.
Why are you arguing? What is the crux of the argument?
What's the root?
What's the root of the argument? Why are you arguing?
Mm-hmm.
And is it both of you? Is it one of you? And it's okay if it's one of you. Because I think sometimes, too, that's another thing, like, we used to have, like, if I say something to you, you thought I was saying you're doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's from the way I treated you in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes...
And wait a minute, that can be a reason for a lot of conflict in marriages, too, because it can be a situation that has been bypassed and it hasn't been revisited. Nobody has talked about the hurt or whatever that has happened that has caused the person to be at this point of not wanting to listen,
mm-hmm.
you know, irritation, just can't stand the person. And it could be something that happened years ago and that never, like I said, never been addressed. And you guys never talked about it. And it just made it seem right. like you didn't care. You didn't care about my feelings.
Even though we talked about stuff like this,
mm-hmm.
I still to this day will say to you sometimes, I'm not saying you did anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that you did anything that is, anything wrong. And I'm not blaming you, but X, Y, Z. I have to sometimes put that disclaimer in front, because if I say certain things to you,
mm-hmm.
you'll be like, what you said, you said I did something wrong. It was a mistake. And that's not what I said.
Right.
So I put the disclaimers to this day still sometimes, you know this to be true,
mm-hmm.
and say, look, if I don't like something, I'm going to tell you I don't like it.
Right. I think you know, this is the point is, when you're in a marriage and a husband and wife is in marriage, right? Of course, the man is going to think so differently than the woman. The woman's going to be more emotional thinker, right? And the man is going to be the more logical thinker. He's not going to think like the woman thinks. You see what I'm saying? So the point is to bring these things to the front. If you got something that's that bothered you from the past, that's causing you to then act the way you act, and you're just not liking your spouse, say it. You know, come bring it out. No matter how long ago it was, I think it's important to get to the root of the issue so you guys can start changing, can start, you know, building the maturity in your marriage so you can get to the next point. Because if you don't address the hard things, then there ain't no way you're going to get to the next level.
Yeah. And you got to, and you just got to agree to disagree, because you're not going to agree in every part.
You're not. But be willing to listen to the other person.
Oh, definitely. Point.
And if they hurting and you see that they hurting, try to meet them where they are and be like, look, if I hurt you or if I said something or did anything, look, I'm sorry. And actually mean it from your heart. And, you know, and not just saying it words, but showing it in your actions.
It's not always about the words.
It's about the action.
I think it's the action. Actions speak louder than words. It's not, say it. I think if you just, because you'll say this for a fact, mm-hmm. I can say all day long that I'm going to do something. That's not what convinced you. It was mm-hmm. me showing you.
Yep. Actions.
Me showing everything. You by me doing it, by if you said something to me not yelling at you or mm-hmm. getting upset,
mm-hmm.
that was showing you. I can say all day I'm not going to yell at you, but you, if you thought I was going to yell at you every time I raise my voice,
mm-hmm.
you would think I'm yelling.
Yeah.
So when I just be calm about stuff or be thinking, you're like, okay, you know what, or maybe I, and that's how, like, we, like, because you can be emotional, we've talked about that.
Yeah.
And you go off into your tangent. And I just sit there and I just look at him and say, you know, when you calm down, then we can talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I just walk away. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting there, don't you walk away? What you don't wanna talk. See, that's just like you don't wanna talk, blah, blah, blah. And then you say, wait a minute. Maybe I need to stop, you know.
But then
you realize, and same thing for me.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get emotional or thing and I'm like, you know, you don't listen to me and da 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 da.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm saying I have to think to myself, am I listening to her?
Right.
Am I listening to what she's mm-hmm. saying? I'm just only worrying about how I feel. I'm in my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes both ways.
I think it's important when you asking questions in a period of conflict to not be like, you did this, you know.
Oh, you never do you.
You basically say, look at your own self and what mm-hmm. you contribute to the issue.
So we have talked about, mm-hmm. you know, I may have said, I think last time we did the podcast, mm-hmm. I was like, you know, we got into that thing and I say, well, maybe I just misunderstood you.
Yeah.
No, I mean, because maybe I did. Maybe I misunderstood you.
Yeah.
And just earlier we was talking about when we decided that you realized about the Bible and Sabbath.
Yeah.
You know, I say, well, I remember this. You say, I remember that. I say, well, you did say it to me and you probably did start doing it when you got to Bermuda.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just about, okay, this is how we can work around it. This is what we do. You know, mm-hmm. I remember this. You remember that. I'm not saying that you didn't remember it wrong, that you remember it wrong. I just remember it a different way.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean we're both wrong. Doesn't mean we're both right. Well, we could both be right.
And we could both be wrong.
And we could both be wrong, but we can also both have different views of how it happened.
We
both have different views. Like, where we met, you have a different view of how it happened. I have a different view of how it happened.
Yeah. Because everybody perceives things differently.
Exactly. Because you definitely do that. Because if I say, you know, the sky is blue, you'd be like, oh, you know, I think the sky is blue today, because you think of it in a different way.
So if you say the sky is blue, I turn around and says, yeah, I may think the sky is blue.
No, you say, I think the sky is blue today. But you're saying,
or it may be gray. Or it may be
It could be
blue.
Green. It could be blue-green.
It's just cloudy.
Mm-hmm. It could be orange. It could be yellow.
Yeah, I mean, it mm-hmm. could be. Anyway.
Especially when we play like yellow car and you say, that's yellow. And I'm like, no, that's orange. You're like, well, my mind is yellow. See, okay.
Anyway, it's a game yellow, that we play in the car.
You're colorblind,
guys.
But hey, you know what? Mm. Hey, whatever.
Whatever. Let's move on to the next point.
Yeah, we only got a few minutes.
Yeah. What's the next point?
Oh, it's the last point. The last point is?
It's a discovery stage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's the death stage. To know each other intimately, friends, lovers, and children of God, to feel safe in each other's arms,
mm-hmm.
to understand the difference, to also be our strength,
mm-hmm.
because to mm-hmm. treasure everything about the other person, to discuss our differences openly, respectfully, and maturely,
right,
without intense arguing, mm-hmm. and to make daily choices to love each other unconditionally in everything we do or say.
Mm-hmm.
We look at each other through God's loving eyes and ask, how can I have my spouse experience more how can I help my spouse experience more of God's love today?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was just talking about with the
wait.
With
let me
the
do this.
Reasons.
But with what season was that?
Depth.
The depth.
The depth.
The depth stage. And so the depth stage would be considered winter, endurance, and legacy. So it says the reflection question here was, what trials have made us stronger? And how do we lean on our faith in tough times? And what legacy do we want to leave for our children and community?
And the text is 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight.
Mm-hmm.
I have finished the race.
Mm-hmm.
I have kept the faith.
Mm-hmm. So what are some, let's go through these pretty quickly before the time is up. What trials have made us stronger? I think through all the stuff that we went through in the beginning stage of our marriage has really taught me from my perspective that you're going to go through hard times. You're going to go through a point in your life where you didn't think you were going to experience certain things. And when you do get to that point, you doubting yourself, you doubting, you know, I can't believe I allowed myself to come in this, you know, get to this point. I said I never was going to do this, but you just never know what you're going to go through in your marriage or in life that you may have to bite your own tongue. And I think through those trials that I experienced in our marriage has allowed me to see myself as a stronger person, as a person that's willing to keep fighting for the fight that God wants for our marriage, and to be able to see my husband in a different light, you know. I always saw you in a good light, but the light that I came across at the time that I didn't like was like, it was more disappointment. It wasn't that I was angry. It was more of a disappointment. But God had showed me and how to hold on and how to not give up. And he didn't harden my heart when we was going through our hard times. I think that sometimes that can happen in a marriage where a person can just get fed up and they just don't want to do it no more. They don't want to deal with it anymore. And I think that's what I have learned. That's what made me stronger now, to be able to see, wow, we have came. Look where we are now versus mm-hmm. where we was before.
Oh, definitely.
What about you?
I'm going to keep it short and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
You said everything I would probably say. And the thing I would just say is never say never.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how do we learn how to lean on our faith through tough times? How can people know how to lean on each other, how to lean on God through their tough times?
We just talked about in the devotion this morning, mm-hmm. by trusting God and knowing that mm-hmm. he has our back in everything that we do, mm-hmm. everything that happens.
We was talking about David.
Can I finish my statement?
Okay,
thank
sorry.
You. Sheesh, you just keep cutting me off.
Sorry.
Anyway, like I said, geez, I know you're in a row.
Go ahead, babe.
We just, you know, we was talking about David, but I'm not going to take your thing now. But anyway, just trusting God in everything that we do and knowing that everything happens for a reason, the negative and the good.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a bad thing that's happening, but something positive may come out of that. Something positive will come out of that negative,
mm-hmm.
because maybe it just God's just trying to get our attention, and always knowing that God is always there for us and everything we do, even when we don't think he's there, even when we don't feel that he's there.
That's right.
He's there.
Yeah.
He's omnipresent. He's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you're going through those hard times and you feeling like he's not, lean on, pray to God and say, look, Lord, show me. I need to see what you're saying. And, mm-hmm. and he would do that. He would do that for you, but you got to believe it.
Exactly.
So what legacy do we want to leave behind for our children and community?
What legacy I want to leave? I want to leave
well, a
legacy
of community, yeah.
I want people to know that we was good people, that we were kind and considerate people, and that we care about everybody, and that I want my children to always know that love is not easy and that love is hard,
mm-hmm.
and that relationship mm-hmm. is not easy, that relationship is hard.
Mm-hmm.
I want our kids to understand that you may not always agree with their partner when they get, you know, their spouse when they get older and they mm-hmm. have, you know, Junior has his wife and Sky has her husband.
The girls have their husband.
Well, the girls have their husband. That through it all, through all the problems, through all the fights, through all the disagreements, that they have each other's back no matter what, like
mm-hmm.
we did.
Mm-hmm.
And that if they trust in God and have God first at all things,
they'll be able to stand strong.
That they'll be able to stand strong and everything mm-hmm. will work out. Mm-hmm. And in the end, they'll be standing tall and strong.
That's right.
That would be my legacy. And just to know that I was the type of person I and you, that we was the type of couple that always had, was always thinking of other people,
mm-hmm.
and always there for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Trouble and through thick and thin.
That's right.
And that people see in us that we're always there for each other, that even when they see that we don't even maybe getting along, we don't let that affect our marriage.
Yeah. So I want to say,
and God is first in everything that we do.
Right. So our final encouragement for this season of marriage is every marriage will pass through each of these seasons, some more than once, but with God at the center, each season becomes an opportunity for deeper love, stronger faith, and lasting joy. So.
Yeah, what I just said.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to read that.
You want to just do one card?
Yes, just do one card.
Which one is it? This one?
Yeah. We have the card.
I just pick one card. We both answer from one card because okay. We're kind of short on time.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, what's
this? All right, so the card right here says, "What's an area about me that you like to learn more about or have questions around?"
What area about?
Yeah, what area about me?
Mm-hmm.
You would like to learn more about or have questions about?
I want to learn more about your brain and your your thing, because 20 years and I still don't know sometimes what you're thinking. And this is not a woman thing. This is just a married thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to know more about why you think sometimes the way you think and get into that head of yours and like why you think that way. Yeah. And why do you have that? You know, and it kind of, you know, because like you said, we're different.
Yeah.
So sometimes you may be feeling a certain way about something, so it makes you think a certain way.
Yeah.
And I be thinking a certain way, too. And I'm like, because, you know, we do it all the time. Like, babe, really, you going to say that? Like, why would you say that? Like, that's not cool. You like,
yeah.
Why you think it's not cool? It's the way I feel. Like, you know, so.
I think,
and I would like to, yeah.
Learn more.
Have a bit of understanding of the way your brain works.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I guess that question go for me as well. Mm-hmm. What are areas about you that I would like to learn more about? Most times to learn about why you just, your brain too. Like, why you so chill most of the times? And why you're not so chill most of sometimes? You know, why you just be like, you know.
Nah, I have a way of thinking, I think. I just think that in life, you may not like somebody, mm-hmm. but that don't mean you have to be disrespectful to that person.
Yeah.
I may not like you, and I tell you I don't like you, but I won't be disrespectful to you. I'll still say hello. I'll still talk to you. I'll still help you.
But that's probably why, let me finish asking my question. I'll still help you. That's probably why sometimes I come to you and I'll be like, Petro, so what you think? What's going on in your head? I come to you and just randomly ask you questions because I do want to learn more about you. I ask you questions because I feel like no question is a stupid question. Whether you may think it's a stupid question.
No, it's not. I don't say it's a stupid question.
I just come to you.
Why
anyway,
are you trying to go there for trying to say I'm saying it's a stupid question?
I'm just saying I come to you and I just ask you questions. Just try to pick your brain just to see what your thoughts are. And basically just observing you as a man and it's amazing how God made us so differently and why he wanted the man to be the head.
The head of the household.
And the woman to be the helpmate. So, you know, I think it's a balance with man and woman.
Yeah. And there definitely is a balance there. And I think,
yeah,
I know we balance each other out just right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
like the perfect recipe.
I don't think we're perfect yet.
We like serving pancakes.
I think we're still learning. We're still mixing.
Oh, we're a salad. Okay.
Yeah. We're still mixing. We're still in the mixer. We're still in the mixer.
Yeah.
20 years.
We're still chopping
mixing
it up. We're still chopping it up
right now. Yeah. Because we have moments where, you know, the mixer breaks.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
You know, you want to just toss it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so hey.
All right, guys. So we have come to the end of our show.
Yes, yes.
And we are so happy that if you have made it this far to listening to our podcast,
thank you.
That means you need to follow, share, like, and leave a comment and let us know your thoughts and what season you in your marriage. And talk to your spouse about these different seasons and see about how you can get better and grow and, you know, and just let God do what he do best.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Thank you again for joining us.
I'm your host, Tara.
And I'm Pedro.
And this is Heal My Marriage
Podcast.
Blessings, guys.
Peace.